You are not like your average guitar playing lady. You're really not. And it's super impressive.
Thank you.
Yes, like, it is super impressive.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Powell. And here on the Peace Jam podcast, I get to introduce you to incredible Georgia musicians, from hometown favorites you already love to brand new voices you're about to discover. It's my job to find different types of people and different types of sounds from all over the Peach State. This podcast is a mix of performances and down-to-earth conversations, all recorded live at the GPB Studios in Midtown Atlanta. On this episode, you'll meet a band that is so much more than just a band. They're teachers, mentors, and an international collective.
I'm Erin, and I play bass.
I'm Kiki, the drummer, and I play drums.
My name is Guitar Gabby, and we're the Tulips Band. I'm from Atlanta, but everyone in the Tulips Band is from different places. So we have people that are from Miami, more Atlanteans, ATLians, actually. But then there are people in different countries. We have some people in California, Canada, just everywhere.
And what type of music do you play?
Rock and roll. Grunge music is like the bubble that I'll put it in.
They said that it's my choice, whatever I choose, gotta make it work again. It closely lit the fire, out came words of hate, lust, and desire. Instead of standing here, I'd rather just stand slowly in the rain. You got something new, let me have a way away from you. The distance you'll find time. Cause in the distance you will learn to live again. But until then, you've got to change your ways. Slowly darkness fades away. You've got to taste this pain. When you learn to appreciate, you've been looking for the lost one.
So you mentioned that you have members of the band that live other places. And if I Google your name, what's it say? Like you're a collective, a rock and roll world, international collective or something? Explain this to me.
I'll give you the elevator speech that I give
people.
Okay. So the Tulips Band is an international black female rock collective. We have about 35 musicians that are around the world, different states, different countries. And the way that we pull it all together is when we have different concerts, touring. Sometimes we've done some acting and scoring. So that's one leg of business. And then the second leg of business is Tulips Academy, which is a nonprofit where we teach kids about the business behind the industry and how to strategize to make their passion, their career, and their paycheck. And then the third branch is Tulips Consulting Firm, which is where my lawyer piece comes in. I work with artists and professionals to teach them about intellectual property, contracting, setting up your business, etc. So that's the spiel.
That's the, it's a three-legged stool.
It is.
And yeah, I understand that. And so you are so much more than musicians. You're inspiration, you're the consultant to like help guide and help other musicians, and then your teachers, your, this is awesome.
Thank you.
Right? Okay, so Kiki the drummer, you teach.
Yeah, I mainly teach. So I have a business here in Atlanta. It's called Atlanta Percussive Arts, and I teach all ages how to play drums. But not only do I teach, we have really cool performances where we bring in over like the best drummers in the world, right? So to name a few, we had Little John Roberts join us. So we're having Juan Carlos Mendoza coming in. He's a big deal. And so, yeah.
And then we can't gloss over the fact that Gabby mentioned you're a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So you're a rock and roll lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, where did you go to law school? When did this happen?
Yeah. So growing up, I was one of those kids that loved being outdoors, but I also loved coming in the garage and playing my guitar. Then I also was intrigued by understanding how and why things are the way they are, rather than understanding the thing itself, if that makes sense. So for me, that can look like understanding how a guitar is built rather than memorizing how to play a guitar. to me, it kind of helps cultivate a relationship. So I have the same approach with law. So that being said, I went to Spelman, I studied environmental science. And then from there, I went to Vermont Law School and I studied environmental law and policy and then branched off to studying entertainment law. So I guess went in different directions, but while I was in those different directions, I was still doing the other things in other directions so that I could get to a point of bringing it all together and cultivating a space where I'm able to connect with other like-minded people like Aaron and Kiki. And then we just continue using our different passions and avenues of teaching and whatnot to just reach people and help change people's perspective.
Fascinating. It really is. Like, this is cool. You're so much more than a band, you're a business.
You've got something new, let me have a way away from you. Cause in the distance you'll find time. Cause in the distance you will learn to live again. But until then, you've got to change your ways. Slowly darkness fades away. You've got to taste this pain. When you learn to appreciate, you've been the guy.
Tell me about the intention you have of lifting women of color with this project.
I think we probably all can identify with just growing up and not always having representation, meaning someone that looks like us in the magazines that we go to the store to buy, on billboards, even on the internet. They're just, growing up, I didn't have a lot of those avenues. We didn't have a lot of those avenues. So I think it kind of comes full circle in so many different ways, because now each of us are kind of doing things in a way that's giving back to our community, also uplifting people through inspiring and just existing, but then also helping people change their perspective and looking at life differently. There's two sides to every coin. My dad always says your cup is half empty or is half full. It just depends on how you choose to look at it. And our experiences, the people that we're around, you know, cultivate the way that we look at life. So I think through the Tulip Span, our whole objective is helping people to shift their perspective. It can be good or bad. It just depends, again, on, you know, what's going on. But ultimately, if you're able to use your passion to help shift your perspective, then you're able to show up in the world different. So it's a matter of starting to do it.
Cause in the distance you'll find time. Cause in the distance you will learn to live again. But until then, you've got to change your ways. Slowly talk then fade away. You've got to taste this pain. When you learn to appreciate, you've been looking for a lost one.
It started with education. It starts with education, which is why I think that's actually one thing that I think more of us than not have in common in the collective. A lot of us come from a teaching background. We're currently teaching. And when I say teaching, that's in any capacity. And a lot of my teaching background was in nonprofit, doing after school programming, environmental science, music. For you, music and other things probably too. You teach also.
Make that face.
I will say, to piggyback off of Gabby, like, this is the first time, like, even at my school, that I'm seeing a diverse group of students. Mm-hmm. I have so many, like, 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds who are, you know, little girls, and growing up I did not see that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm pretty sure, you know, me as their teacher, you know, that's something that, like, I at least did not see, you know, when I grew up in the 90s, I'm giving my age. But but I think it's cool and it's important, you know, for us to be seen and for, you know, like, young girls and young boys to kind of, you know, see us and like, oh yeah, that's possible. So they can do it too.
Yeah, yeah. She said everything I was gonna say. Okay.
Silver tunnels in my head again. It's just the pipelines of your ignorance. I see the changes moving right through me.
not enough to take your misery. So we go searching through your lies. Believe there's change this time. Yeah, I see the colors never fade away. The world's secret's been confined.
This project, is it a full-time job?
Yes and no. So I think it depends on what angle you're asking it from and who you're asking. Okay. For me, it is a full-time job because mm-hmm. I'm running the ship and kind of collaborating with other people to continue building and adding on to what we have built over the years. So for me, it is a full-time job.
Okay.
But then there are some moments where there are some musicians in the band who will just kind of come in and just exist in a studio capacity, which means they might, you know, come in, you know, once a year or twice a year. I don't know, whatever our session schedule is, because that varies too, but it just varies. So yes and no.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Do y'all tour?
Yes and no. So that's also on. Well, it's because questions like every time people ask me questions like this, it's I feel like in a traditional band or traditional setting, you would have a traditional answer, which is yes or no. Mm-hmm. But for the Tulips, it's a little bit different because we're not set up like a traditional band. We don't operate or exist like one either. Starting off, lots of touring because, you know, we were really just trying to get our name out there. Again, just build the foundation of everything, which was how we ended up doing the Indigo Girls tour. That was a lot of fun. Did the Queens of the New Age tour, which was my first like personal tour. But I'm again blessed that we're at a point now where we can kind of pick and choose what exactly that looks like. So yes, but not on a traditional model or a traditional scale of touring.
So you mentioned the Indigo Girls a couple times. So you went on tour and opened for the Indigo Girls?
Mm-hmm.
When?
20, that's what we were trying to figure out. It was 17, 2016, 2017, something around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
2017.
How many dates did you do?
I filled in. I only did one date. Yeah, it was a last minute fill-in, really.
Yeah, it was. It was a lot. I think we had like maybe three or four shows.
Okay.
Three or four dates. Yeah, it wasn't like a whole lot of them, but it was, I mean, opening for the Indigo Girls, anything really is great. Yeah.
So, that's huge.
Yeah.
And I think I only had, only like 2 weeks to learn the songs, or maybe
even
a week. Yeah, something
if
crazy.
Even.
But
we were moving.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. How did you get hooked up with that?
The short version is branding. Mm-hmm. I think around that time is when I had started to solidify or feel more comfortable and confident in this is the brand and this is how I want to move it forward. So by that point, I was working in nonprofit. I was doing environmental education and I was leaving work one day and I got a phone call and I was like, I don't have the time. I'm tired. I've been dealing with kids all day. I rolled it to voicemail. Thankfully, I had Google, whatchamacallit, where they transcribe the voicemail.
Yeah.
Google Voice. No, whatever. That thing. And I read the message and I was like, I'm sorry, does that say Indigo Girls? So I immediately called back and it was their management and was like, yeah, we want you all to open up for the Indigo Girls. So we had a whole conversation. They offered us the whole tour, but we weren't at that time. I was in a very traditional band setting. So I only had four members and that was all that I was working with. So it was built around their schedules, you know, so we can pick out what we want. So it didn't work out. That's how we ended up connecting because it was last minute and I was like, I want to keep some of these days called Kiki. Yeah. So that's how what would happen.
That's really cool.
It was.
Yeah, that's cool. Pretty awesome. I like that.
Abstract feelings from the innocent. They took our freedom, but it made no sense. I see the changes moving right through me. It's just enough to preach delivery. So we go searching through your lies. Believe there's change this time. I see the colors never fade away. The land that's promised on its way.
So you said one of the legs of the three stools. I think I said the three stool or three-legged stool. But one of the parts of your business is about consulting.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you consult? Like, how does that work? And what do you tell people?
Okay, so the short version with that, everything is so complex, but the short version with that is a lot of consulting let me start with the kids portion. So through the Tulips Academy, we partner with other camps around the world. Girls Rock Camp is one of the camps that we worked with a lot over the years. And so when we were going into camps, we were consulting with the camp as an organization to help them create the framework for building more intentionally diverse spaces for kids of color to come and experience and have, you know, that good camp experience. So that was one avenue of it. But then on the other side of it, while we were working with those camps, we were consulting, if you will, with kids. So teaching them, what do you want to do? What are your goals? What are your passions? Let's like write you a business plan and get you thinking on the right track. That's one side of it. But then another side of it is I do consulting with different instrument manufacturing companies, helping them to think more sustainably. Sometimes that comes through the lens of writing. So I write for Guitar World magazine, and the last three pieces that I did was focused on how can the instrument manufacturing industry build instruments more sustainably? Because we're using a lot of wood up, we got to think of something different. So consulting in different capacities. And then, of course, just working with artists about how do I copyright my stuff? How do you read this contract? You know, building strategies. So for me, it's all from a strategic perspective, and then you kind of break out into the subject matter from there.
You are not like your average guitar playing lady. You're really not. And it's super impressive.
Thank you.
Yes, like, it is super impressive. Erin, Kiki, like, what's it like? Like, I have friends that are like way smarter than me, and sometimes talking to them can be hard. And so I'm curious if sometimes this lawyer stuff gets too heady for you, or can y'all go right along with it?
I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, she's extremely organized. She doesn't miss a beat. I don't have to like text like, hey, what time? Like, she already sent out a sheet and it tells you where you need to be, mm-hmm. what needs to be done, what song. So I have to say, like, the whole lawyer and is it okay if I say type A? Is that
yeah,
cool?
Oh, okay. I'm very type A. Yeah. I'm very type A.
Yeah, but it works. And if I do need advice, I could just call Gabby. Mm-hmm. So it's been awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she pays attention to detail, which I like.
Yeah.
I can agree. And as someone who is very not type A, it is honestly refreshing. Just how organized Gabby is. Like, I like everything that I need. I just know I can like go through an index, like find such and such date.
The
like,
Google Drive is crazy.
Yeah, the Google Drive is insane.
Like, and her response time is like fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. Do you sleep?
Sometimes.
Been a goddess, a queen, no doubt. All this time they send spies to check me out. I mean, it's given power, it can't be touched. Like my crown, all this power is way too much. It's like new level, the devil's the same. Especially when it's different faces calling my name. You see, the term must be a refrain. Unless you call one of my queens, that will always reign. Look. So we go. Promised on its way.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Tell me about the guitar you were playing today.
Speaking of passions and kind of cultivating your passion to become your career, when I first started playing the guitar, my approach was I want to understand it. So I would take them apart and try to put them back together. I did that with my first guitar. And then after that, I had a notebook where I would just kind of write out different ideas of what I would want guitars to look like one day. If I could build a guitar, what would it look like? What do I want it made from? So I lost that notebook about 5 years ago. I was cleaning up. I came across it and I said, you know what? What if this is the time in my career where like God had this timing for me? So I was going through the notebook. Acetone Guitars is the name of it. And all of my designs, the foundation of them were, I want them to be built sustainably. So that can mean getting sustainable wood, which is, there is a company in Canada that I do partner with, Thermal Wood Canada. And they build, or they have different types of wood. One of them is called obsidian, which is what that neck is made of. So I'll take stuff like that and then also repurpose wood from different guitars, old bodies. That one is an old Jackson Dinky that I had. I did not like the guitar at all. That's no shade to Jackson. I love Jackson guitars, but that specific model I didn't care for, but also didn't want it to just like go in the trash. So I kept it for all these years, get to this project and said, you know what? What if we just like literally rebuild it, but like sustainably? So that's what I've been working on for the last year and a half, and that's what we have now.
Do you sound impressive to yourself?
Some days, but I mean, I'm a human like everybody else, you know? Like, I have animals at home that are ready to cuss me out. They don't care that we're doing this, and they don't care that the guitar looks great. They want to eat.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah. But I'm thankful for just, again, friends and people and like-minded community. I'm thankful for my community because it took some time and just years of just experience and meeting people, the right people. And now this is what we have, so. I'm sure we all have this, a similar story, but I had a band teacher in middle school, Mr. Jennings, and it had nothing to do with guitar. I actually started playing the clarinet, the oboe, and the piano first. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Jennings taught me the foundation of understanding music, how to read music, but not from a, this note is this and this is how you play it, but more of a, look at this sheet music. Do you see the colors of music? Do you see the composition, the energy, the feeling of what this song was composed to do? That moment changed a lot for me, and it had nothing to do with the guitar. It was just a teacher who was teaching, and he just cared. What about y'all?
I was accidentally misplaced in a music class in high school. I signed up for wood shop and robotics.
Yeah, that's very different.
The counselor was like, yeah, I'm sorry. The robotics is, you know, it's full. And I'm like, oh, man. He's like, but we have the steel pan class. I didn't even know what steel pan was.
What is that?
It's like the Caribbean kind of steel drum.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I stayed in the class and there's a drum set, and I, like, it was red. To me, it sparkled. And I'm like, oh my gosh, because I've always wanted to play the drum set, just never had the chance. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm going to play that. So then I decided to just like stay here. And he later called me. He was like, hey, a spot opened up in robotics. And I'm like, no, I'm going to stay here. And then just like how you had a teacher, I didn't teach her. His name is Mr. Hamilton. And, you know, it was kind of a competition to figure out, because only one drum set, like who's going to be the drummer of the class. I've never played drums, but I got obsessed and I became the class drummer. So, yeah, just from that interaction.
Yeah. mine was a little bit different. I actually was kind of always obsessed with music, but I was a really shy kid. And so when I would sing, it just like, I guess like whatever inhibitions I had, it didn't sound good. So my mom was like, you're tone deaf and I'm not gonna spend money on you to learn how to play an instrument.
Oh, that is so mean. Funny at the same time.
That was actually really what happened. And then finally, so we had a guitar laying around the house, and my mom worked part-time at the Salvation Army / Boys and Girls Club, and they started offering free lessons, and I was like, Mom, like, just let me go to this. Let me learn guitar. So I started off on guitar, and then after a while, I kind of just wanted to do something else. So then I ended up switching to bass, and my bass teacher that I had in high school, Pete Lim, was really the one that kind of just like set me up, and he was incredible. And yeah, once I touched my bass, I like never went back. Actually, I did recently buy a guitar for the first time, and like, yeah, like 12 years or something.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so that's been fun, like getting reacquainted, and the strings are so tiny. the spacing is so small. But that was how I got started.
And hearing all three of y'all tell those stories, like now, like it really makes sense why you want to share that passion, because somebody put it in you, or like awoken it in you. Mm-hmm. It was there.
Yeah.
And just a little bit of nudge got it there. Or sometimes it's a little bit of like negativity that pushed you.
I know, she's gonna be so upset when she sees this. She's gonna be like, how could you?
Well, my mom,
she supports me. She's so supportive now. Yeah. Like, she really is.
That's
like,
good. No, yeah. I believe that. Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry.
If it makes you feel better, my mom wanted me to be a forensic scientist. A forensic anthropologist, to be safe. And when she found out I was in a music class and I was serious, she's pretty upset. So
I was going to do plant genetics.
Oh, wow. Well,
you were going to do what?
I was interested in plant genetics, but then I was like, what if I did music? And my parents were like, here's the college application.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you are a lawyer now, so there's that.
Now, and my mom actually is the one who was like, have you ever thought about law school? I was like, girl, no. You should look at this. I'm like, okay.
Thanks for listening. If you want more, you can catch all three songs from Guitar Gabby and the Tulips Band, start to finish, on GPP's YouTube page. And don't forget to leave a quick rating and review. It really does help. And if you like what we're doing here on Peach Jam, please tell somebody. Tell your friends, tell your neighbor, tell your mom, your pastor, your mailman, whoever you can find. And if this is your first time here, I invite you to go back and listen to some of the older episodes. You might just find that your next favorite band lives right down the road. Coming up on the next episode of Peach Jam, we will meet an artist who credits a Decatur street musician with being his inspiration.
One of my early mentors and inspirations was a guy named Guitar Red, who I met in Decatur when I was in high school. I was working at an ice cream shop there in downtown Decatur, and he was a street musician and would play right outside the shop.
Slow Parade is on the next episode of the Peach Jam Podcast. The Peach Jam Podcast is produced, edited, and hosted by me, Jeremy Powell. If you want to recommend an artist to be on the show, send me an email, peachjam@gpb.org. Sandy Malcolm is our executive producer. Mark Davenport is our associate producer. Recording, mixing, and mastering by David Spence and Victoria Evans Cash. Special thanks to the team at Sounds Good. Find us on Instagram at Peach Jam Podcast. And look for Peach Jam on TV wherever you watch Georgia Public Broadcasting. In the meantime, please support live local music and independent record stores in your area.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.